Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hey, produce people! Welcome to the Ides of March episode of the Global Fresh Series. Today is March 13th, 2024. I am your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from Long Beach, California. Today's guest is from an important organization in Canada that is dedicated to conflict resolution in the produce supply chain. Before introducing him, we have a few announcements. On the international front, coming up this week, Green Tech America, taking place in Querétaro, Centro de Congros, Mexico. Check it out, and if you are attending, I would love to hear about it. Drop me a note. Closer to home, we just had a fantastic in-person networking event at last week's Southern Exposure Expo. Stay tuned for the Produce Industries Podcast's next virtual networking as we announce it sometime very soon. A big thank you to our newest sponsor, Peak of the Market, connecting great farmers with caring consumers. Visit their booth 931 at the ZPMA Convention and Trade Show to connect with staff and growers and learn how they are working to fill half of every plate across North America with fresh vegetables. Now to today's guest, introducing John Bustamante, Director of Trading Assistance since 2005, based in the Ottawa, Canada office of the DRC. Hey, Jaime. Hello. Welcome to the Global Fresh Series Show.
Good morning, Juanita. Thank you for having me here.
Today's guest is Jaime Bustamante. He has served as Director of Trading Assistance since 2005, based in the Ottawa, Canada office of the DRC, also known as the Fruit and Vegetable Dispute Resolution Corporation. The mission of the organization is to drive economic viability and support the smooth flow of transactions within the produce industry. He began his career with the DRC Mexico office in 2002, where he played a pivotal role in the operations at this location. His role includes all trade assistance services with helping members identify potential customers, informal mediation processes, and education and training as a few of the important services offered to members. He has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to produce transportation disputes and will tell us what the DRC's role is in preventing and resolving them, which is really kind of the goal. They want to prevent them in the first place. There is a lot to talk about with this organization. So why don't you start by telling us about the organization and its role within the produce industry? Jaime, over to you.
Thank you, Juanita. Thank you for that introduction. And yeah, so the DRC began its creation back in 1996, 97, when the industry from Mexico, United States, and Canada and the government decided to create a within NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement.
It's quite a mouthful there, I know. Just like, yeah. It took me a while to the DRC.
And that no longer exists, right? So now mm-hmm. it's Mexico. But it was created to help the industry of North America have a third-party dispute resolution mechanism that could help the produce industry resolve disputes without the government involvement. After many meetings between government and industry in 1999, the DRC was created in Canada, in Ottawa, to offer its services to Canadians, Mexicans, and U.S. companies who dealt in the produce industry.
So was it just focused in the beginning with just these three countries, Canada, U.S., and Mexico?
Yes, at the beginning, it was just the three countries. Okay. Then the membership was open to its commercial partners. So that anyone who was dealing with companies in Mexico, United States, and Canada, offshore companies in South America, Europe, Central America, Asia, would have access to DRC services as long as the product entered into commerce in North America. So the product needed to touch base, whether or coming in or out of Mexico, United States, and Canada, then the DRC would have jurisdiction over any dispute that arose between members, which
and is... So was that regardless of where point of origin, where it started, as long as it entered any one of these countries?
Correct.
Okay.
That was the limitation. A few years after that, also 2006, the DRC decided to expand its services to include transportation. So not only the buying and selling of produce, but also transportation companies who hauled produce would have access to DRC services. So we became like a mix of the PACA in the United States, the Blue Book, and we have the opportunity to cover the whole produce value chain. It's been like that since 2006. The main goal, as you mentioned, is to prevent disputes.
And right, before they get blow up to a costly court dispute.
Exactly. So the produce industry is a different breed in terms
of... We know that.
Yeah. So the DRC provides its rules and regulations to its members, which define the rights and responsibilities that each member has in a produce transaction, including the transportation of it. Mm-hmm. That's very important because... normally in our industry, there are no written contracts. Most of the transactions are done over the phone, exchange of emails. Nowadays, it's an exchange with text messages. And it's so fast, and it has to be so fast because of the perishable nature of the product.
Isn't it amazing? There's still no, you know, this industry is still on a handshake.
Yeah. I mean, I still find people
few industries left that's on a handshake.
And so what the DRC rules provide is that structure for when buyers and sellers forget to discuss certain terms in the transaction, the DRC
assume certain things from the transaction.
Yeah. Our rules apply by default. Our rules also say that as long as the parties have an understanding, whether it's verbal or written agreement, the DRC will respect that. But where the contract is silent, the DRC rules and regulations will enter to play to protect both parties.
Okay.
And so most of our members, what they get with our service is first and foremost is understanding who they're dealing with. We have right now over 1,700 companies, members of the DRC across the world. Mm-hmm. And what we try to say is that once you enter this organization, what you're entering is a group where you can have a level field of playing because both parties are protected in a transaction. And the first thing they need to do is have us contact us to help them discuss those transactions, those dealings, those contracts, so that we can help them facilitate the exchange of information terms to make it easier for both parties and avoid dispute.
You want to smooth it out.
Yeah. We do this to our trading assistance team, our help desk, private consultations. All of our services are private and confidential. Unless the parties want us to inform the other party they're dealing with that they want us involved, we don't get involved.
That's huge to have that confidentiality.
Exactly. And it provides a certain understanding and trust that, that you're talking to someone that is going to keep everything between the parties talking. And so companies can contact us to say, hey, Jaime, we've been contacted by this company. They want to do business with us. What can you tell us about it? And obviously, we have a history of these companies. We don't reveal how many disputes have had or who they had disputes with. Mm-hmm. But we can give you a pretty good idea whether it's a company that has good business practices or they tend to do this or request this or that. That helps our members make a better decision, lower the risk of dealing with someone that may not be their match or a good match for them, or they are actually by the information that we give them. We're not a credit rating company. We're not a collection company. We don't do any of that. What we try to do is smooth the transaction.
Strictly education and mediation if it gets to that point.
And that's the other part. When a DRC member contacts us and say, hey, Jaime, I want to train or I want to make my salespeople or buyers understand better the trade, we provide that service, webinars, education sessions for free to our members. All of that is included in the membership.
And also, probably updating them on any kind of current laws or regulations that they should know about that would be included within a contract.
Anything that is applicable to the
transportation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in transportation nowadays, is a delicate subject sometimes. So whenever there is a dispute between a company where after they have consulted with us and we've provided advice, the parties are not able to resolve that dispute, that issue that they have, that's when they can open a file through the DRC. And our dispute resolution process is divided into two steps. The first one is an informal mediation that's mandatory. All members, before they go to the formal complaint, they have to go through this informal mediation, which is included as part of the services of the membership. There's no cost attached to it. And we have a 21-day period to try to resolve.
It's kind of like a cooling off period.
Yeah. And essentially, that's what happens with mediation, right? Mm-hmm. the parties get to express not only their frustrations, but their feelings, and probably make the other party understand, hey, maybe you said something wrong. Maybe you did something that you said
and
you were.
I would think, since you're dealing with a lot of international companies, sometimes it could just be something was expressed the wrong way. It was just confusing because
you're not
speaking the same language. You mean something else, what you might be saying. So you're just trying to smooth that over and so that both parties understand that that was not the true meaning. It meant this. And that's where you can get right to the basis of it.
Exactly. And 80% of the disputes that are open through the DRC are resolved during that informal mediation process. So one will file a complaint. We give the other party a 7-day period to reply to that complaint with their stance on the matter. We study the case. We request more information if necessary. And if not, we go right into the case and give reviews of the case based on the contract between the parties and what the DRC rules say about those terms that were discussed. And most likely, after going back and forward a couple of times, the parties understand where the dispute arose, where's the main issue.
That's fabulous, because if you're able to get them to both understand and doesn't go any further, that's a lot of value.
And at the same time, we provide those rules that we say, hey, look, if you take this to a formal phase, which in our case is arbitration, most likely that arbitrator will look at these rules to determine the case and make a decision and award. So
I want to continue on to hear more about maybe some examples or some of the common disputes that you have, because our listeners would probably really value from hearing some of the things that have gone on in the past that could help prevent them from getting into something. But right now, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our fabulous sponsors and those relationships within the produce and supply chain industry.
Are you ready to elevate your produce aisle and captivate customers with fresh, high-quality vegetables? Look no further than Peak of the Market, where we connect great farmers with caring consumers. Visit booth 931 at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show to connect with our passionate staff and growers to discover how we're working to fill half of every plate across North America. Learn how our core value of being rooted in growers drives every decision we make. From seed to plate, Peak unites the entire supply chain with a full service team handling everything from sales to logistics, packing, and distribution. We've got your veggie needs covered. Don't miss out. Visit Peak of the Market at booth 931 from April 23rd to April 25th at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show in Vancouver, Canada.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. If you are just joining us, welcome and a big thank you to all of our dynamic sponsors. Let's return to our interesting discussion with Jaime Bustamante of the Fruit and Vegetable Dispute Resolution Corporation. Last we left off, he was starting to get into some of the disputes that arise, how we can prevent some of these things. So Jaime, I'm going to give the floor back to you.
Thank you again, Juanita. So we left it off with the arbitration part, which is the part where, unfortunately, when the parties don't get to resolve their issues during the informal mediation process, then they have access to the arbitration process, where an arbitrator, after the parties make their submissions, if a hearing is necessary, it will be conducted. The arbitrator, after a certain period of time, will make a final and binding decision to our members, to the parties.
And how long does that normally take? What kind of a period in between?
So the DRC has two types of arbitrations, expedited arbitration and formal arbitrations. Expedited arbitrations are those where the claim is for less than $50,000. Then it falls under process where the parties only have to make written submissions to the arbitrator, and the arbitrator makes his decision based on those written submissions and evidence that is provided to them. There's no hearing, and that takes between 60 and 90 days.
Now, and once that arbitrator makes a decision, does it pretty much stick? Or have you had companies who still say, no, we don't agree with this, we want to go further? How does that work?
Arbitrations are not subject to appeal. Once an arbitrator has made a decision, it's final and binding. And if one of the parties decides not to pay the arbitration award, two things happen. The first one, DRC automatically takes disciplinary actions on the membership of that member not complying with the arbitration decision. Mm-hmm. For Canadian companies, that means that if they don't pay an arbitration award because the Canadian regulations, Safe Food for Canadian regulations, obligates them by law to have a DRC membership. If they lose that membership, they can no longer deal in the produce industry.
So it's pretty much it's in their best interest to go ahead and comply with that.
Yeah. So the second part that happens, if that arbitration award is not paid, if the disciplinary actions taken by the DRC don't make the party pay, then that arbitration award can be executed or enforced in the appropriate court. DRC arbitration awards are recognized by all the jurisdictions of the country signatory to the New York Convention of 1958, in which all the countries signed an agreement that all arbitration awards will be recognized and enforceable in the appropriate court. So if you get that arbitration award, you don't have to start a legal proceeding similar to starting a lawsuit. What you just do is, obviously, you have to hire a lawyer. You take that arbitration award to the court, show the judge the arbitration agreement. Certain elements must be shown to the judge, which the DRC process allows for those elements to be complied with. And within a matter of months, the judge will come up with a decision from the court based on the judgment or the decision, the award by the arbitrator. And so, again, that's the advantage of having that arbitration decision.
Yes. Yeah. I think arbitration is the way to go.
And
what percentage of the, by the time it goes to arbitration, what percentage gets settled? And I'm curious what percentage might move on to even a further dispute?
So we have instances wherein during the arbitration process, parties do settle. That's, I would say, 10 to 20% of parties who enter into an arbitration end up settling. But most of the times, 80 to 90% of the times, it goes to that final decision by the arbitrator. Now, how many of those get actually enforced in court?
Yeah.
In over 20 years of experience working for the DRC, I would say 4 or 5 have only been enforced in court. The rest have been complied with, or, which happens, obviously, it's not a good outcome, but it happens. Companies sometimes declare bankrupt.
Yes.
And when that happens, unfortunately, everything gets thrown out of
it. It just crumbles at that point.
Because legally, companies are protected.
That's kind of a good way to weed out companies, though, because maybe that's a company that shouldn't even be carrying on business if they can't uphold the rules and regulations.
Yeah, yeah. And so going back, so I explained the expedited process, but there is that formal process for claims over $50,000. The difference between the expedited and the formal is that the formal, a hearing is required unless the parties waive that hearing. The time periods to exchange information are a little bit longer. So a formal arbitration can take between 120 and 160 days to get a final decision from the arbitrator. Obviously, the costs are different for an expedited arbitration and a formal arbitration. One thing that is important is the DRC is a non-for-profit organization.
Okay.
So we don't make money or take money from companies that decide to enter the arbitration process. All of that money goes to pay for the services of the arbitration process and the services provided by the arbitrator, his hourly fee.
Okay.
So we don't keep a percentage. We don't keep anything. Everything. If whoever wins that award, they get all the money if paid.
Yeah, but that's really attractive to members as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because they normally...
it's really showing you're in their best interest.
Normally, companies, what they see is a collection agency working for a commission or a percentage of their winnings. Or even if they go to the court, there's a percentage that the representative takes. Not in our case. We're not interested in making money out of helping people, companies resolve disputes. That's that's not our goal. That's not our goal.
No. Well, that's, as I said, again, it really is attractive to members because I know you really, the organization is really in their best interest. Can you give us some examples of what some of these transportation disputes range from? Something as simple as XYZ to...
Well, yeah, transportation disputes, but also just produce disputes. The main issue is always over, or the main dispute is over the quality of the product upon arrival. We're talking about perishable commodities that once they move from point A to point B.
Anything can happen in transit.
In transit, even regardless of whether there is good transit times and good temperatures during transit, the cold chain is not broken. The product continues to deteriorate under the best temperature control.
Right. Conditions, best conditions.
Exactly. Yeah. So normally what you sell is not necessarily all the product gets there at the destination in 100% good sound condition. So there's always those percentage of average of defects that are found upon arrival that makes the buyer say, hey, this is not what I was expecting.
Right.
We should discuss maybe adjustment on the invoice.
Exactly. That's what I was
thinking. Or you know what? Don't know what I'm going to be able to do with this product. I think I'm just going to have to claim damages. Mm. Or you know what? Let's change the original fixed contract price to a consignment or a price of sales or an open sale. And normally when the discussions happen between the parties and everything is willing to collaborate and resolve the matter, not an issue. But what happens when the parties say, no, I'm pretty sure I send you, the shipper says,
it's almost like the parents saying, you know, my child is the smartest and the most beautiful. What are you talking about when my produce is breaking
down? I only ship diamonds, right?
Yeah.
But that happens. So when that happens, that's when we get involved in the disputes. Now, in transportation, obviously, the main issues are over transit times, extended period of time. Instead of a 5-day trip, it becomes a 7, 8, 9-day trip. Or instead of a 2-day trip, longer than that. So obviously, the more the product is moved for a longer time, the more deterioration you will find. Sometimes the cold chain is broken during transit. And this is important because if we're talking about North America, and maybe it happens also in Europe, in other parts of the world, where you're moving product from Central America or South America or Mexico to Canada, where weather can be extreme.
Yes, from tropical to cold, especially during the winter.
If you don't make certain adjustments to that reefer unit, the outside ambient temperature may affect the truck's inside ambient temperature and how the reefer unit works. That's some of the issues.
You probably really cover this a lot in the education then in terms of preventing that the temperature. I would think temperature controls for the supply chain is huge.
Yes. Yeah. So we have actually designed since the beginning a webinar or seminar that lasts 8 to 10 hours for our members.
Wow.
We used to go and visit companies before.
You're now, how many members did you say? I forget.
Over 1,700.
Yeah, you can't really go visit 1,700 members.
No. So this virtual settings, these platforms has helped us reach our members a lot easier.
Absolutely. Now with Zoom and everything else, you can just bring people in and have people discuss some of their issues.
And instead of having a 1-day or 1.5-day seminar, we can divide those seminars and webinars on blocks and give them in several different days.
If someone wanted to, if our listeners wanted to contact you or find out how to be a member, could you give us some contact details?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you can visit our website, which is www.fsinfrankvsinvictordrc.com. You can find all the information that you need over there. You can contact me directly to my email address, which is jbustamante, B-U-S-T-A-M-A-N-T-E, at fsinfrankvsinvictordrc.com. Gladly, we'll send you the information that you need to learn more about us. Or if you decide to join us, I'll send you the information for that too.
Well, this is great. I mean, this is a whole new area. Everyone knows about PACA and Blue Book, but this is an entire new organization that I've learned a lot about, especially I would think with transportation, there's always something going on. And we'll definitely have to have you back with another show. I want to thank you very much for being our guest today and agreeing to be here, spend an hour with us.
Thank you, Juanita.
To our guests and our listeners, thank you for joining us today. And as we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see you in the fields and on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.